Die folgende Sendung wird präsentiert von ICAP, International Center for African Perspectives.
White privilege means I can do the following without fear of being harmed or killed. I can go jogging, I can be detained by police, I can go birding, I can relax at home, I can have a mental health crisis, I can defend my girlfriend, I can run unarmed from a cop, I can play loud music, I can ask for help from a stranger, I can play with a toy gun, I can lawfully carry a weapon. I can get a traffic ticket. I can party on New Year's Eve. I can go to church. I can shop at Walmart. I can sell CDs. I can take out my wallet. I can breathe. So in all these activities, casual activities, African Americans were either harmed, physically, severely harmed, or even killed. And the recent case, George Floyd, what happened on the 25th of May, an African-American man who died in Minneapolis, Minnesota, will be the topic of our today's show. Welcome to Radio ICAP. We make a Black Lives Matter Vienna show. I'm here again with Cyril Osekwe. My name is Maciej Cilbukasa.
You're welcome.
So, Cyril, we know all what happened. We saw it in the news. It was a young...
Yes, I saw the video myself.
Yeah. You saw the video yourself.
A man already neutralized, was pinned on the ground, on his neck, by a police officer. Intentionally want to kill him. So it's murder.
A police officer and an African-American man, both more or less at the same age. The man, Floyd, he was accused of using a counterfeit $20 bill, and the police said that he resisted physically during the arrest, but the security cameras from a nearby business showed and proved that he was actually not resisting. So this was a lie.
Whichever way you look at it, the guy is already handcuffed. He cannot run. Process can take place?
Obviously, this kneeing, this is common practice in the United
Excuse
States.
Me, one thing is to note here is that this is not accidental discharge. In most cases, some matter comes to because he tried to disarm me and I shot him. No, this is intentional killing. Inflicting pain, that is why you see wide reaction from the people coming out in thousands to protest this way of killing, this way of human inhumanity.
Exactly. People say this is such a severe case that now it should be some kind of turning point. We have experienced for too long the dehumanization of human beings because of their African heritage. So, the police officers were already fired. The consequences were more or less severe. The main person in charge is accused of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. And his wife wants to get divorced from him. And many things happen.
When you're dealing with a monster, the best thing is to...
things happen now. And then the demonstration...
Keep him away.
The demonstration started, just to have a chronology... And now Donald Trump also hits the stage with new statements. So this is where we are now. We are facing police brutality not for the first time. And of course, when we see images like this, the people who are also opinion makers and leaders, they say this happens all the time. The difference now is that we can watch it because it was filmed, because it was spread through the social media. So we have Spike Lee, for example. Mm-hmm. He made a small portrait called Three Brothers that also went viral, where he made a collection of a film, Do the Right Thing, he made about, I don't know, 30 years ago, and also the actual killings. And the question now is that I want to ask you. The people say it has not changed. It was always like this. Is this now, as we say, like, first of all, has it changed? A second, is this a United States condition or is this a global phenomenon?
America has history of violence dating back to what the black Americans went through in the slave in the plantation. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you say things like this, people say, like, "Don't talk to me about slavery. Slavery is over." Most people would say this. Even the Africans, or the African Americans.
We're talking about slavery. That
yeah, there
was
should not be some kind of slavery.
Up to the time of
romantic is not
Reverend Martin Luther and the march at Washington and.
It was civil rights movements. And this brings a good point. Now we have Donald Trump in the White House and this death of George Floyd happened. But in fact, more or less the same or similar cases happened with former presidents, Trump's predecessors, like George Bush. Remember, there was this Rodney King killing, for example. I looked it up. George Bush back then said, to watch things like this or to know that police officers act like this is sickening. But then when the protest in Los Angeles kicked off, he said something like, oh, these protests, they are not about inequality or equality. This is a brutality. This is a mob. This is a brutal mob. This is pure and simple. Remember Bill Clinton? There was this case of Madu Jallo.
Yeah.
In 1999. He was shot in the back 40 times. He was shot in the back 41 times, right? And he shocked the whole world. And now Obama, remember Obama, what was Eric Garner? Eric Garner, who was dying more or less with the same words as George Floyd. I can't breathe. And Obama said back then, this is not a black or brown problem or the problem of Native American people. This is a problem of all American people. Is it or the problem of all American people? Or is this the point of change where all American people say it is also targeted to us when the police is acting like this?
Well, and, I can say in the evolution of human civilization and looking at America as an ideal of a modern society, yeah? They should have come above this, yeah? But when you see such brutality from the people who were paid with the taxpayers' money, who were paid to protect the life and the properties, now turning to become brutalizing life and their properties and giving blame to other things and it is really, really uncalled for, yeah?
Yes, what I really was thinking when I saw this is really, what did this police officer think this kind of person is? Did he think he is some, I don't know, some kind of lion or gorilla or, I don't know, to treat a human being like this?
It is.
I can treat you like that.
It is shocking and disgusting.
It's insane. It's completely insane.
To see such a thing. And it is not only black that is demonstrating. Take my word. You see,
yes,
people from all walks of life, people from different racial background, if you call it race, were on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling spade a spade, that they don't want this in their society.
Yeah.
And I expect other societies also to take a leaf from what is happening in America today, because it can be happen somewhere else tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is not a way to die.
No, yeah? This is not a way to die. But we are also talking about what living condition lies behind or before all of that. A few days before this happened, you remember there was this case with this black bird watcher and the white dog walker, both called Cooper, but they were no relation. Christian Cooper and she was, I don't know, Amy Cooper. And she somehow I don't know, the situation escalated, what happened before was not filmed, but then he took his mobile and he filmed how what she was doing, and she, what did she do? She called the police and said that an African-American man is threatening her and her dog. And this was a complete lie, and he could prove it because he had filmed it.
Yes, I came across it, I've seen that also.
And you want to, you can hear what he said.
At some point, she decided that, you know, oh, I'm going to play the race card, I guess. I'm not going to participate in my own dehumanization. I'm not going to feed into this. You know, we live in an age of Ahmaud Arbery, where, you know, black men are shot, gunned down because of the presumptions that people make about
it. You see?
To play a race card.
Play a race card. So... Whatever
I tell the police, they will believe me.
Exactly. So white supremacy is might be a racist belief, but it is something that either appears before or after racism, right? Mm. This is something that this woman had learned her whole life, probably. Maybe she had never done or said anything racist, but when it comes to a point where she is somehow affected, she can play this card, and of course, I believe it also defines her personality, because to know that in any occasion I can do and harm whatever I like, this is a position of power that she is has learned to have. So this is, it has defined her character. So now we are confronted with politics. Probably this is why these racist topics are also often so difficult, because instead of talking about politics, instead of talking about social conditions, history, as you like to talk about, the people talk about race, about biology, about your color, about your pigments, about, you know.
Also immigration and citizenship.
No,
and,
because we don't have a problem with immigrants from Sweden, and we don't have a problem with immigrants
immigrants from shithole countries.
Yeah, because we have learned that those people cannot do nothing. So the reaction of the presidents, now Donald Trump said in a tweet.
Donald Trump?
Donald Trump, right. He said, his first comments were...
No, he said heaven has got a wall.
A tragic...
A strict immigration policies. Heaven has got a wall. A heavy immigration policies, while hell has open borders and...
I don't understand. I think this is a secret message Christian.
I see like man made hell and man made heaven and hell.
I don't understand that message. So he said, first he said he will have an investigation. This is a tragic death. And he sent out good thoughts to the family, something like this. And he said, justice will be served. Then the protests started. Donald Trump reacted, it was in context of a press conference, he said he was shocked. And then, on Friday, last week, he finally tweeted then, quote, "I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. A total lack of leadership. Either the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Frey, get his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send the National Guard and get the job done right."
He's talking as the president of America.
This is a game changer, because to send the National Guard against the protesters, this is nothing you could have expected from the president.
Turned to violence, yeah? And he, as the head of the state, should... As president, should do something to stop it. Otherwise, it can generate into uncontrolled.
Take an example
violence.
Of the son of George Floyd, Quincy Mason Floyd. The son, he called out the protesters to stay peacefully. He said that he was, tearing.
Many people came out to show their angers in one way or the other. The social distancing, people has to lose their jobs, people has to...
This is now the question of...
coming together to boil under this protest.
If it is possible to get a turning point and in which direction. But Donald Trump, of course, he's clever as always. And what did he add? He added, these thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. You say?
Listen, there's one American lady who said that we are not trying to start a racial war, a race war, like the fake news media put it, but we are trying just to end one.
Yeah.
If this killing and unnecessary killing of citizens and that in most cases goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Let us fight it once and for all. And if we should put a stop to it, let's put a stop to it right now on the death of this George Floyd.
Uh-huh. I believe so. Obama tweeted yesterday on Medium.com. It was his first tweet on Medium. And he said more or less the same thing. He shared his observations that most of the protests have been peacefully inspiring. He gave some points. He said, what should be done now in order to change the system? He said, for example, that the protests now, they are the sign of the outcome of the frustration over a decades-long failure to reform the police practices.
Of course. Reform and justice
and
for
broader
George Floyd,
criminal justice system in the United States. And he says that of course, he is a former president, he says that those people who say that we can only change this criminal justice system with protests and direct action and not by voting and participation in electoral politics is a waste of time. He disagrees, of course, with this. I think his main message was also that to channel the anger into peaceful action and effective action, to know also, because this might be something where you say, like, yeah, you've been the president, you've done nothing as well, that how the system works and at what point it can be transformed, because it can be only transformed on a local level, more or less. The police departments, this is local politics.
Oh, yeah. As you can see clearly, the symbol of liberty and the definition of democracy, it is left for us to see if this fits into our contemporary society when we look at our different strokes for different folks and the injustices in the system. Look in far away New Zealand. People were protesting on the street shouting,
not only
Black
New
Lives
Zealand.
Matter, Black Lives Matter.
Germany, I mean, we have in Vienna. Give us the date. When is the demonstration?
On Thursday.
On Thursday. Who is organizing it?
The human rights organization, all human rights organizations.
And where
in
is
Austria.
It? Where will it take place?
Within the parliament and
in front of the parliament? No.
Who's of Mofumastone area?
Mofumastone area?
I think so.
Okay. Please, people, you have to look it up yourself. So the protest will start on Thursday.
Yeah.
At what time?
I should be 4 o'clock in the evening.
4 o'clock in the evening. So it's enough time to look it up. We will definitely be there. So what also is sometimes astonishing, just to stay a little bit in the United States, are these reactions towards the girl that filmed these killing? Darnella Frazier, she's called, a 17-year-old girl. She was accused and criticized why she didn't intervene
to help police officer in uniform, well guarded, with the Asian police officer giving him a covering fire with his gun, that you should know how at which range you come to a policeman with a gun who is ready to fire you. So in any case, nobody should penalize the young lady for not intervening, because as a young lady, she can do little or nothing at that point in time. Mm.
Yeah, her mother also reported she's traumatized now.
Just traumatizing the poor little girl.
Very, very sad, right?
Very sad.
So, a better topic is the solidarity. The solidarity that was shown around
justice,
the world.
Justice has to be done.
But there is one...
And reforms. Police practice
reforms. But the solidarity from one body, I might say, is something new and something which affected me emotionally. It comes from the African Union Commission in that point. Musa Mahamati, the head of the African Union Commission, he condemned the quote-unquote murder. So he called it a murder, right? And also he condemned the discriminatory practice against black citizens of the United States in a statement on the 29th. in Addis Ababa, and then many African politicians followed, like ambassadors. The U.S. ambassador to Zimbabwe, who is African-American, took a much more personal tone. As an African-American, for as long as I can remember, I have known that my rights and my body were not fully my own. So I don't know where I've read this, but this is definitely a turning point. African politicians start to intervene in, let's say, U.S. politics, international affairs. What do you think?
Just wanting to note here, the civil unrest that is orchestrated by the rampaging protesters, and people use the opportunity to be cutting away things that doesn't belong to them, yeah? Like breaking stores and taking of goods, from supermarkets and things like that. It's and the setting of buildings on fire. These are things that you can remember as far back as 19th century, but not things that can go well in a modern yeah. state because of.
But I tell you one thing: the Independent reported that other groups, and this was like neo-Nazi groups, yeah. they took the opportunity to
cause mayhem.
So to what?
To do evil things in the society.
Cyril, do you believe that this death of George Floyd, is it a turning point? Is it the point where we say Black Lives Matter, this very humble phrase I always think, is able to transform, to turn into Black is necessary?
It is.
And what I mean with necessary is that it is necessary to be involved, considered, asked. You know, like, of course, we interact with each other. This is not the point. But with this structural racism that we are also, I mean, this is not America, we are in Austria, this is a different society, but we also have forces here. I just want to remember Dominic Knapp in December 2018, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah, executive officers made a police control with some among some youngsters in the park who they believe were
the young rapper
drug dealers, but they weren't. All right, okay, so this thing happened. But what happened afterwards? Then came a politician, right? A man in power, a man who has political power. He was the vice mayor back then. Now he made a career after the Ibiza gate affair, right? And he gave those police officers a prize back then.
This is police action, and in every society.
Why do you give a person a prize for that? You give a person a prize because you also transport a message, and the message was: when you deal with Black people, those people are dangerous. Those people, and for dealing with this danger, you get a prize. This was the message lying under it. This is how I understood it. The question is now, if the people get dangerous if they are treated like this.
Yes, that reminds me of what I said before. A few bad cops in the society, you don't use
yep.
their action.
Always
which,
have.
Which ring bells in many, in high places to discredit the fine officers out there who are there
exactly.
to do the
and
job
when the
without fear
and when
or favor.
The political leaders on the level of the leadership said it is good, it is okay, I even gave you a prize to treat people like this, then the police officers will change their behavior. And to how brutal they have turned, just remember in 2019 there was this climate demonstration where you might say like, oh my goodness, please take some money and get the police officers schooling of how to treat the protesters and how to deal with those in stressful situations. They pull the young boy, the head under a car, and then the police car
yeah.
started to drive, nearly drove out all over his head. I mean,
there is one thing
you cannot discuss now. Was it his fault or was it? It's the question: what are you doing in terms of how do you deal with people to be an authority in a protest, right? Is this, I know that. I have been in situations like this
wanting
where you know, you look in the person's eye and you know the person is not here. And whatever, when you are not wise enough, then whatever, everything can happen, right? And these people are armed. They have weapons.
In as much as I don't support police to deal with criminals with kid gloves, I mean, such criminality that has to do with first degree criminality like armed robbery or terrorism or whatever, you should try to catch a criminal with your bare hands. No, I don't preach that. But the game has changed, yeah? The world has become so digitalized that everybody can, news can start from me, can start from anywhere. Yeah, like the young lady who took picture of the policeman who doesn't know that it will go viral, right? Like COVID-19. Yeah, people reacting spontaneously to what they saw to be injustice, right? And yes. It's as clear as that, right? That the police should know that most of these things you are doing is not covered. It's you're not protected. It's not done under darkness. Yeah. People, somebody might be watching you. You don't know. And whichever lie you may try to come up with, there has been a substantial truth to and
yes,
facts.
But in fact, there are certain politicians, and I do not even say that in that point. I mean, Donald Trump's reaction now, it is his way of showing political power. And you might say it is, of course, the question, if it is a turning point, but how you deal with protesters, demonstrators, how do you deal with, destroying shops, this destroying property, this is, of course, never funny. But he said also, Donald Trump, towards the governors, I believe he said that, treat the people and to lock them up for 10 years and then they will never do the same thing again. So he has a clear vision of how to oppress unwanted civil movement. If he would say like, okay, I take this police officer, I lock him up, I charge him with whatever I can, and then the police will know that they will never do a thing like this, this would be an alternative reaction. And this does not happen. It's not about heating up the if the scenes are heated up, we are not inside, we don't know it. And I've never been a fan of this. As I said, I had demonstrations like this where I saw this, and this is not it's not effective. I would say depends on, I don't know which what you want to achieve probably, but there are politicians like this Dominic Knapp, for example, and he. Definitely, he did not say like, okay, we need trainings because there are the problems of, as you say, like racial bias or whatever, right? But he heated everything up because to say like, yeah, I have to give a police executive officer a prize for making more or less a normal police action that came out as being wrong. This is something completely different. And I think, for example, psychological trainings for police, this is something normal. I mean, we are in a democracy. We love our democracy. We don't want to run
around
with guns.
Many of them are psychologists, yeah,
right?
By profession. So,
who what?
And many of the officers are psychologists by profession. You know, if you don't seem called to order or...
But of course, there are many people
using
who threat, do good.
Using threats that he will deploy the soldiers and the all that they have to curtail. The stop the protesters because it is turning violent. Yeah, it's no longer peaceful protest. Yeah, where people have to lodge their complaint and allow the government to do the rest.
But this is something where I think it's really because I hope it does not turn to be violent now because when the protests stay peacefully, right, then many people can contribute to it. You know, the middle class. You know, all these people. Who watch the things on TV now, you know, even more, you know, because they cannot go out because of the pandemic. But all these people can contribute when the protests remain or peacefully. Right?
When protesters get to the point of police station, yeah, and begin to set ammunition ablaze, set police cars ablaze, and the police will fold hand and keep watching. it is a bad scenario if you look at it. And in this case, the president must do something, otherwise the election is on the way.
He should tell the people to stay calm and not tell the team that he's a weak man and I sent the National Guard. Right, so, as I said, it is a turning point because when things like this happen, life can never be the same, right? You watch these kind of things on television or on social media and the internet, and it affects you. When you walk on the street, it's not the same than it was the day before. So it is necessary, the change is necessary, right? From Black Lives Matter to Black is necessary. Black is necessary, just, you know, because to be excluded from all these necessary processes, like decision-making processes and, you know, all of that is not... this is that... Let's hope... I think every time a crime happens, you know, it is not... Something comes out of it. But of course, I always wished that it would not have happened, right? And so...
You hear many things from the demonstrators, yeah? Some of them were ex-servicemen. For many years, they have served their country meritoriously, black, white, coming to say, I took an oath to defend and to protect... the state of America, and pledge their allegiance to the flag, when such a thing happened, you see these people come out and say, are we Americans or are there two Americans, or the right of a citizen and the right of immigrant, you see a citizen by birth, he don't know any place than this place where he was born. That is where he pledges his allegiance, and yet should lose his life in such a manner that you begin to ask, what is really wrong? Yeah. So for them, it is like they are trying to put an end stop, to this unnecessary killing, a brutal killing, or I did it for my race, or I did it for because my race will protect me because this is a lesser race, or this is a stronger race, and which amounts to nothing. You see them fighting.
There is only one human race.
Thank you very much for that, Bajie.
So, I sat down here again today with you, Cyril Ozekwe, and we talked about what is going on in the United States, and we will remember, and we will probably come back to George Floyd.
We don't forget Dr.
No,
Dr.
We did
Bukasa.
Not. We did not forget anybody. Yeah, anybody.
We didn't forget what he would say on Thursday.
Is it Chibanewak? Was it Omofuma? Right. All the people.
Bakari Jay and
all
rest
the people.
Of them,
right. Missing persons. They stay in our hearts, and they stay in our dialogue and discourse. So have a nice week. And
see you on Thursday.
Yeah, see you on Thursday.
At demonstration ground.
Corona-Tagebuch, Wochenrückblick auf die Kalenderwoche 22 des Jahres 2020 oder Woche 11 NCS, Zeitrechnung nach Corona-Shutdown. 25. Mai. Der Wirtschaftsnobelpreisträger Josef Stiglitz sagt im Interview mit der Zeit, diese Krise ist mindestens so schlimm wie die große Depression. Was sie besonders trügerisch macht, wir erleben gerade einen Nachfrage- und einen Angebotsschock gleichzeitig. Das hat es so noch nicht gegeben. Auch der Anstieg der Arbeitslosigkeit in nur wenigen Wochen um rund 40 Millionen in den USA ist beispiellos. 26. Mai. Die EU kämpft um die Finanzierung von Rettungspaketen zur Bewältigung der Krise nach Corona. Ich zitiere wörtlich aus der kleinen Zeitung. Der deutsch-französische Plan in Kürze. Ein Fonds über 500 Millionen Euro, der keine Kredite, sondern Ausgaben für die am stärksten betroffenen Sektoren und Regionen bereitstellen soll, so Merkel. Zuschüsse, keine Kredite, soll die EU für den Aufbau vergeben. Eine echte europäische Revolution. Und das ist noch nicht alles. Die EU-Kommission soll das nötige Geld als Kredit aufnehmen. Ein Novum. Für das Darlehen bürgen die EU-Staaten. Ende des Zitats. Der Bericht verdeutlicht, wie sich die EU-Staaten weiter und weiter in die Abhängigkeit der Finanzindustrie begeben. Er hat nur ein kleines Manko, denn hier werden Milliarden mit Millionen verwechselt. 500 Milliarden Euro sollen zur Rettung Europas aufgebracht werden, nicht 500 Millionen. 27. Mai. Ich habe heute keine Nachrichten gelesen. Auch diesen Luxus muss man sich hin und wieder gönnen. 28. Mai. Vor Wochen wurde Afrika in Bezug auf Corona als tickende Zeitbombe bezeichnet. Nun liegt eine aktuelle Stellungnahme der WHO vor, wonach auf dem ganzen Kontinent mit 1,3 Milliarden Einwohnern nur rund 4.000 Corona-Todesopfer zu verzeichnen waren. 29. Mai. Zur endgültigen Eindämmung von Corona fordere ich ein sofortiges Verbot von Seifenblasen. 30. Mai. Die Zeitschrift Profil bringt ein Interview mit Wolfgang Schüssel anlässlich seines 75. Geburtstags. Offenbar weiß der Ex-Kanzler schon, dass es in den laufenden und kommenden EU-Verhandlungen um mehr geht als um 500 Milliarden Euro. Zitat: Bei Corona reagiert die EU gut. Es wird einen Budgetschwerpunkt zur Corona-Bewältigung geben. Es gibt Sonderprogramme, Zuschüsse und Kredite. In Summe 2.000 Milliarden Euro. Ende des Zitats. Der Ex-Kanzler macht sich auch schon Sorgen, wie das viele Geld zurückgezahlt wird, und er sagt, entweder alle zahlen mit oder das Geld kommt aus dem EU-Budget, dann müssen andere Projekte gekürzt werden oder die Kommission führt neue Finanzquellen ein, etwa Finanztransaktionsabgaben oder CO2-Steuern. Das fände ich spannend. Das fände er spannend. So kann man die Welt auch betrachten. Erste Reihe fußfrei mit einer Kanzlerpension, die regelmäßig überwiesen wird. Dass unser Bundespräsident Alexander Van der Bellen die Sperrstunde übersehen hat, habe ich heute vor einer Woche kommentiert. Natürlich häuften sich seither Kommentare von Kritikern und selbsternannten Pflichtverteidigern. Was mich daran interessiert, ist aber nicht das Vergehen eines Einzelnen, sondern das System. Insbesondere die Maßlosigkeit der Corona-Gesetzgebung, die für ein Bagatellvergehen, das so schlimm wie Falschparken ist, bis zu 30.000 Euro Strafe vorsieht. Und darüber hinaus interessiert mich die Willkür der Corona-Gesetzgebung. Just nach dem Fauxpas des Präsidenten wird die Sperrstunde von 23 auf 1 Uhr früh verschoben. Van der Bellen sei Dank gibt es Wichtigeres als die Diskussion über Sperrstunden. Und zwar die Diskussion über die Kunst der Freiheit. Das nämlich ist der Titel des Buches, das Van der Bellen 2015, also ein Jahr vor der Präsidentschaftswahl, veröffentlicht hat. Auf Seite 135 schreibt Van der Bellen, ein Jahr vor seiner Wahl zum Bundespräsidenten: Ein merkwürdiges Phänomen ist die Uniformierung von Meinungen, obwohl es eine lange Tradition der Pressefreiheit gibt. Das Muster: Wenn vier wichtige Journalisten einer Meinung sind, meinen in der Regel auch die anderen, dass es so ungefähr schon stimmen wird. Gegenargumente werden entweder nicht gehört, nicht mehr vorgebracht oder dämonisiert. Am Ende gibt es so etwas wie eine Einheitsmeinung, gegen die anzukämpfen es zusehends schwerer wird. Diese freiwillige Gleichschaltung der Medien betrifft Sachfragen ebenso wie schwierige, komplexe Konstellationen der Weltpolitik. Ich habe den Präsidenten gefragt, wie beurteilen Sie diese Aussage im Hinblick auf die Gleichschaltung der Medien infolge der Corona-Politik in Österreich und weltweit? Und der Präsident hat mir geantwortet. In der ersten Phase des Lockdowns, unter dem Eindruck der Bilder aus der Lombardei, haben die meisten Medien die Maßnahmen der Regierung unterstützt. Wie im Übrigen auch die Opposition. Aber es gab auch kritische Stimmen. Nachdem absehbar war, dass Österreich in der Pandemie relativ glimpflich davongekommen war, setzte auch die öffentliche Diskussion der normale demokratische Diskurs wieder ein, der sich auch in den Medien seither widerspiegelt. Auf den Seiten 136 bis 138 schreibt Van der Bellen, ein Jahr vor seiner Wahl zum Bundespräsidenten: Ich bezweifle stark, ob die westlichen Demokratien das Urmeter der Demokratie- und Freiheitsentwicklung sein sollten. Vorgestanzte Demokratiemodelle kann man nicht eins zu eins in andere Weltreligionen übertragen. Ebenso wie es verhältnismäßig liberale Autokratien gibt, gibt es illiberale Demokratien. Ich habe den Präsidenten gefragt, welche der beiden Bezeichnungen liberale Autokratie oder illiberale Demokratie trifft auf Österreich im Mai 2020 zu. Und der Präsident hat mir geantwortet: Österreich ist eine liberale Demokratie. Daran besteht kein Zweifel. Ich habe nicht die Sorge, dass wir in ein autoritäres System abgleiten. In der Situation einer Pandemie haben wir laufend abzuwägen, wie viel wir von einem Grundrecht hergeben, um ein anderes zu schützen. Wir haben laufend die Frage zu stellen, wie viel Freiheit wir bereit sind aufzugeben, um unsere Gesundheit zu schützen. Auf Seite 154 schreibt Van der Bellen, ein Jahr vor seiner Wahl zum Bundespräsidenten: Verschweigen, vernebeln oder gegen die eigene Überzeugung reden kann im politischen Kontext manchmal sogar vernünftig und strategisch zielführend sein. Ich habe den Präsidenten gefragt, haben Sie diese Maxime seit 11. März dieses Jahres selbst angewendet? Und haben Sie die Anwendung dieser Maxime nach dem Shutdown dem Bundeskanzler oder anderen Regierungsmitgliedern empfohlen? Und der Präsident hat mir geantwortet: Was Sie hier zitieren, ist eine Analyse, keine Handlungsanleitung. Und ich denke, angesichts der gesundheitlichen Bedrohung durch die Pandemie musste niemand gegen seine Überzeugung handeln. Dass vereinzelt Fehler in der Kommunikation passiert sind, ist da in der Nachbetrachtung evident. Doch wir wissen heute viel mehr als in der damaligen Situation des Handelns. Politik muss aufgrund oft unvollständigen Wissens, unvollständiger Informationen handeln. Sie muss handeln, denn auch ein Nichthandeln, ein bloßes Zuschauen ist ein Handeln. Soweit der Autor Van der Bellen und die Antworten des Präsidenten. Im Vorwort seines Buches betont der Autor, es sei nicht das Programm eines allfälligen Kandidaten für das Amt des Bundespräsidenten, und sogar am Ende des Buches wollte er sich noch nicht festlegen. Zitat: Nun ist die Entscheidung, vor der ich beim Abschluss dieses Buches stehe, kein Heldenplatzdrama. Aber wichtig genug ist sie. Soll ich für das Amt des österreichischen Bundespräsidenten kandidieren? Politische Freunde raten mir zu, private Freunde ab. Und ich muss Sie, verehrte Leserin und verehrter Leser, enttäuschen. Eine endgültige Entscheidung wird vermutlich auch beim Erscheinen dieses Buches noch nicht gefallen sein. Ende des Zitates. Ist es nicht sonderbar, dass Van der Bellen so lange gezögert hat? Ich muss gestehen, dass mich die Ausführungen des Autors mehr überzeugt haben als die Antworten des Präsidenten. Denn die Aussagen des Autors waren kritisch, oft selbstironisch und manchmal sogar polarisierend. Wie das letzte Zitat. Es hat übrigens einen Vorsatz. Hier der ganze Wortlaut. Auch wenn ich mich damit nicht beliebt mache, verschweigen, vernebeln oder gegen die eigene Überzeugung reden, kann im politischen Kontext manchmal sogar vernünftig und strategisch zielführend sein. Dieser Vorsatz ist Vorsatz, also Bekenntnis, nicht Analyse. Dass Van der Bellen so lange getan hat, als ob er gar nicht wirklich ins Amt des Bundespräsidenten wolle, kann deshalb als Wählertäuschung gesehen werden. Zumindest als Täuschung der eigenen Parteimitglieder, denn einer Urabstimmung in seiner eigenen Partei hat er sich mit seinem Unabhängigkeitstrick entzogen. Das ist schade, denn er wäre ja sonst ein netter Mensch, mit dem ich gerne mal über die Kunst der Freiheit diskutieren würde.
Sie hörten eine Sendung von Radio ICAP, International Center for African Perspectives. Mein Name ist Machichil Bukasa. Immer dienstags von 19 bis 20 Uhr auf Radio Orange 94.0 MHz oder im Livestream unter www.o94.at.